today on Real Radio.
Listen, young generation, wake up. Be very careful. Government will make you promises to get your vote. They're like some pervert. They'll lie to you to get you in bed and then rob you blind of your innocence and of your life. Watch out. Wake up.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Always God at Work, Part 1, continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, the prophet Isaiah is well known for both his near and far prophecies. God used him to warn Judah and the city of Jerusalem of coming judgment if they didn't turn from their sin. But God also gave him visions far into the future, the coming of the Messiah Jesus Christ, and also what would happen in the last days when Christ returns. In Isaiah chapter 17, we learned how Damascus, the capital of Syria, will play a role in end-time events. Damascus has been attacked many times in history, but unlike Israel, God will use other nations to completely destroy it. But war is not our greatest threat today. Our greatest threat is forgetting God and what He's done for us. Now, continuing in Isaiah chapters 18 and 19, we'll see how Isaiah's prophecies cover the entire world, and even more so as the end approaches. So today on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that because of Egypt's treatment of Israel, Egypt has gone through a constant state of civil unrest, financial turmoil, and continues to suffer to this very day. And now continuing his lesson called Always God at Work, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Verse 7, in that time, a present will be brought to the Lord of hosts. This gets very interesting. From a people tall and smooth of skin, and from a people terrible from their beginning onward, a nation powerful treading down, whose land the rivers divide, to the place, listen to this, to the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, to Mount Zion. All of a sudden, it introduces us to Isaiah, jumps thousands of years to the future about the establishment of the millennial reign of Christ. He's talking about when the Lord is, and you've been hearing this throughout the book of Isaiah, when the Lord comes and establishes his throne in Zion. Very strange chapter, very strange prophecy. We just file this chapter 18 under the category, we'll wait and see. Very interesting stuff. Chapter 19, look at us, go now. Chapter 19, verse 1, the burden against Egypt. Don't you love the Bible? Here we look at 21st century, here we are tonight. We're reading the Bible, and the Bible says that God has a judgment against what country? Egypt. Can you spin the globe right now and put your finger on a nation called Egypt? Don't you love your Bible? Isn't that awesome? We take that for granted, don't we? Well, there's always been an Egypt. I understand that. But the Bible has said that there's an Egypt. And lo and behold, there's an Egypt still. I think it's fascinating. I love that. The accuracy of your Bible. Behold, the Lord rides on a swift cloud and will come into Egypt. The idols, you can circle the word idols. The word in Hebrew means worthless things, these images. But watch this. I need you to circle idols because you're going to be quite shocked as to what Isaiah is talking about. The idols of Egypt will totter at his presence, and the heart of Egypt will melt in its midst. I will set Egyptians against Egyptians. Everyone will fight against his brother and everyone against his neighbor, city against city, kingdom against kingdom. This is within the realm of Egypt. Verse 3, the spirit of Egypt will fail in its midst. I will destroy their counsel and they will consult the idols and the charmers, the mediums and the sorcerers. Stop right there for a second. Egypt, God is saying, the burden I have against you, I'm going to enter into judgment with the nation and the peoples of Egypt. And one of the scourges that God allows to come upon them is that they will be a people who will war against themselves. They'll attack themselves. They'll go against themselves. Now, what's interesting is Egypt was once, obviously, you know, the greatest in their day empire on earth. You can go to the British Museum, which you should all go to. I'm serious. I mean, I'm not one to encourage people going into debt, but if you have to go into debt, get an airline ticket and go to the British Museum with your Bible open and spend a few days there. You will be freaking out as you go there into that museum, and you'll come to this display and it will have these artifacts from Egypt, and it's going to have even scripture references because this particular dynasty was when Moses was there. See, listen, your Bible is the Word of God, and it's qualified not only by linguistics, but by archaeology, by science, history, antiquity. Remarkable. And God says, I'm going to deal with Egypt. And when I'm done dealing with Egypt, they will never be the powerhouse that they once were. And Egypt still exists today, but Egypt is, listen, by the way, there's quite a few Egyptian Christians that come to this church. I don't know if you know that or not. Sweet people. But that nation, from its former glory, it's just pathetic today. But listen, these things about idols is an interesting thing to consider. And as nations go, you think about this. Now, as we read this, we want to read this with a very careful application to us. Could it be said regarding the United States that the burden against the United States is that we have idols that we consult? Do we consult our charmers? Absolutely. And I'm not talking about horoscope seeking, which is insane, by the way. I don't know if you know this or not, but if the Bible warns you in Deuteronomy chapter 13 and Deuteronomy chapter 18 that if you consult the zodiac, the horoscope, you're consulting demons. Think of that. I'm not talking about something that stupid. I'm talking about stuff that's more dangerous than that. Could we possibly, as Americans, instead of praying and consulting our God about what to do, do we lean maybe upon the mediums that we would call today as politicians, perhaps? Show us what to do. Tell us what to do. Listen, I'm not here to promote or destroy anybody's political aspirations in any way, shape, or form. But listen, I can't find anywhere in the Bible a biblical representation of a government that takes care of you. I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. A government that takes care of you? Excuse me, that's what God's supposed to do. But when you don't want to have God in your life, then you're gonna have the lower G in your life. The big G is God. The lower G is government. You're either gonna tithe to God with your money in love, or you're gonna tithe to government in force. It acts the same way. When the Lord is not in the heart of those who are in power, Proverbs 29:2 warns us that people groan when godless leaders are in power. But when a righteous leader is in power, people rejoice. Why? Because there's a clear understanding that government cannot answer all your problems. Listen, young generation, wake up. Be very careful. Government will make you promises to get your vote. They're like some pervert. They'll lie to you to get you in bed and then rob you blind of your innocence and of your life. Watch out. Wake up. No, the truth of the matter is God is the supplier. And God truly gave us the institution of government. Unfortunately, it's been hijacked by politicians. Government means that you pay to have a police force to protect your neighborhood and an army to protect your borders. You pay government that when you flush your toilet, everything there goes away. Did you know that? You pay government to have your street lights working. Did you know that? It's government that's supposed to put stripes on your street so you don't crash into one another. Government was never supposed to get involved in your faith. Never supposed to get involved in your parenting. But when God is ejected from a nation, government fills the void. And wherever you see godlessness, if you have a sociology class or a political science class, listen carefully. Where there is no God, there's huge government. North Korea, there is no God. You can't think in North Korea. You're not allowed. When I say God, I'm talking about the God of the Bible. It's funny, you can always listen, it's very simple. In countries where they claim that there's a God, but then there's despotic rulers, they're just deceiving people. They say, these leaders say they have a God, but they're the ones, they're tyrants. They just tell the people that they have a God and that they believe in God, but they're tyrannical rulers. Whenever you have a tyrant, you have a man who thinks he's God. Idi Amin, Mao, Pol Pot, Mao Zedong, who else? Stalin. No, don't. I heard that. This is a don't. Verse 4 says, as we saw a moment ago, verse 4 says, the Egyptians I will give into the hand of a cruel master. I'll just mention this and move on. And a fierce king will rule over them. Some say that this is a reference. Isaiah's referring to the coming of the Antichrist. Don't know. It's a stretch. But the Egyptians were subject to some very barbaric rulers. I wouldn't stretch it too far, but watch this. Says the Lord of hosts. The words here, Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, that's what that means, the Lord's armies. That doesn't mean armies like national armies. This is the Lord, his angelic warriors. That's amazing. That's awesome. He's the Lord of hosts, the armies of the Lord. And some biblical eschatologists see, though, in verse 4, that that's a reference to the last days. We don't know. Verse 5. The waters will fail from the sea. It's an interesting prophecy. Watch this. And the river will be wasted. That's the Nile. The river will be wasted and dried up. The rivers will turn foul, tributaries. The brooks of defense will be emptied and dried up. The reeds and rushes will wither. The papyrus reeds by the river, by the reeds and rushes will wither. The papyrus reeds by the river, by the mouth of the river, and everything sown by the river or crops that are near the river will wither and be driven away and be no more. The fishermen also will mourn. All those who lament will cast hooks into the river, and they will languish who spread nets on the waters. Now, this sounds nuts, I understand, but hang on for a second. Moreover, those who work in fine flax and those who weave fine fabric will be ashamed. The word is actually brought to poverty. And its foundations will be broken. All who make wages will be troubled of soul. You say, well, this is a weird thing. What a weird statement. And it is strange. And when you look at it throughout history, it's like, what is this? How does it apply? Listen, I want you guys to see on the screen of something here that a lot of modern day scholars believe that this is actually the answer to what Isaiah is talking about. Go ahead and put up on the screen, you guys, that picture. The environmental impacts, do we have the picture? You're supposed to see a picture of the Aswan Dam up there. That's it. That was it. That's it. By the way, this is one little section of this dam. It was built by the Russians in contract with the Egyptians. To do what? To dam up the Nile. Why? Hydroelectric. To bring the Nile under control. Watch this. I forget what year it was built. You can look it up later. But it was considered one of the great construction feats of modern era. The Aswan Dam. You can look at it, Google Earth, satellite map, pretty impressive stuff. What's interesting is that the environmental impacts that have affected Egypt since the building of this dam, in fact, many Egyptians have demanded since this dam was built that it be blown up and destroyed because it has devastated the Egyptian economy and the Egyptian people, quite possibly exactly as Isaiah 19 talked about, that something would happen to the Great Nile in the future. Next picture. I think we have one more picture regarding this. And as we look at this picture, look, this is the Assyrian Empire. Look to the south west part of your screen. Do you guys see Egypt right there? See the Nile? Looks like a kind of like a fork standing up. The Great Nile right there. Okay, so listen to this. When they dammed it up, environmentalists report the loss of nutrients that would flow down when the Nile would overflow. The loss of those nutrients causes today crop failures, and their production has dramatically decreased, so much to the point where Egypt has had to bring in food from other countries to make up for the difference, because the flooding of the Nile wound up making the soil adjacent to the Nile very, very fruitful. That's not happening anymore. The diverging of the creeks and the streams, which here Isaiah 19 warned about, drying them up caused many animals that were unique to that region to die. Third, in the Nile River, there was the Egyptian river snail, very, very aggressive snail, but it was washed away every year in the flooding of the Nile. But when they built the dam, the snail was no longer washed away. You say, well, who cares about that? The snail that was handled by the floods, now no longer being washed away by the flood, began to make its way onto the shore. Guess what it did? It wound up destroying literally the flax crops whereby they made certain fabrics from. Exactly. That's why I'm pointing out to you tonight. Could this possibly be, in our lifetime, the fulfillment of this ancient prophecy? It had never happened before. I believe it is, personally. Fourth argument, and by the way, there's hundreds of arguments. I'm going to give you just a couple here, or four. The damming of the Nile River has prevented microorganisms from flowing downstream into the Mediterranean Sea, resulting in the ruining of their very, very productive fishing industry, which has tragically affected the Egyptian economy, has led to unemployment. The unemployment has led to a rise in crime rates, and it has removed a key source of food, that is fishing, from the Egyptian people. That's a current problem today, ever since they built the dam. Very interesting. Let's pick it up in verse 11. Surely the princes of Zoan, you can circle that. Zoan is, again, I mentioned on Sunday Spielberg and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. Remember that? I'm not on the Spielberg kick right now. It just happens to be, if you saw Raiders of the Lost Ark, Tanis. Remember Tanis was one of the geographical locations in the movie? Tanis is the modern day name that Spielberg used in the movie. It's a real place. It's here, Zoan, in your scriptures. It's the same location. That's kind of fun, huh? You got to write that down. Tanis. He says, surely the princes of Zoan are fools. Pharaoh's wise counselors give foolish counsel. How do you say to Pharaoh, I am the son of the wise, the son of ancient kings? He's mocking them. Where are they? Where are your wise men? Let them tell you now, and let them know that the Lord of hosts has purposed against Egypt. The princes of Zoan have become fools. The princes of Nav are deceived. They have also deluded Egypt, those who are the mainstay of its tribes. Verse 14, the Lord has mingled a perverse spirit in her midst. The word is the Lord has allowed. It's the moving of the protective covering. Again, going back to the umbrella. Because of Egypt's treatment of Israel, God removes his umbrella. There's a demonic rise in spiritual activity, and they have caused Egypt to err in all her works. That's kind of creepy, everybody. Could America be making the stupid decisions it's making because of demonic influences, because the umbrella's been moved? I absolutely believe that's true. I really do. As a drunken man staggers in his vomit, that's pretty graphic. That's pretty gross. Verse 15, neither will there be any work for Egypt. Its economy is going to be devastated, which the head or tail. palm branch or bulrush may do. Poverty, unemployment. It's tragic. I think before we go any further, I should make mention about how God in his word makes it very clear that we are to be busy at work with our hands. Did you know that work is a blessing? And I'll just speak to the men. I'm not being chauvinistic. I am a man. If I was a woman, I'd say it different. I'm a man. And I'm just saying to the guys, one of the most horrific things, guys, for us, and I'm not telling anything new. Ladies, listen up. This is top secret. letting you in on something. When a man is not producing something with his hands, and I don't mean necessarily building a house, I mean when a man is not producing an income, he finds it hard to live life. There's such a value that men get out of you know, bringing home the bacon or bringing home the kill. Now, the kill may be that we had great sales this month and we reached the quota, you know what I'm saying? And when men are not working, and a lot of men are being lied to, well, you know what? You've paid into the system. Sit back for a while and collect unemployment for a while. Yeah, you know you have the right, but it's not good for your soul. It's not good for your soul. It's not good for your thinking. Men do the best when they're sweating at something. It's just a fact. And please don't take this as a sexist thing. I'm just picking on guys because I am one. I get to do that because I'm a guy. Women value same, okay? But note this. A lot of people today, and you know, I know it seems like I'm beating up on the young people. I'm not. I just want you to think, young people. I want you to think. I want you to use your head and think. You're being told that technology, which is an incredible hypocrisy, every young kid lives off of technology. But there's some goofballs somewhere telling the young kids, technology's bad. We need to get back to horse and buggy. We need to unplug. We need to decrease the population of the earth because the earth can't handle it, which is an absolute lie. And we need to get back to basics, and everybody needs to walk everywhere. And at best, you know, you should have a bike, but that's about it because we want to leave a very little carbon footprint. Okay. Of course, the guy who says that flies around the world in his Gulfstream jet. But our nation, God has blessed. Technology is a good thing when it's in the right hands.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Always God at Work, Part 1. Thanks for joining us today. You know, it's God's desire always to bless us. It's only when we refuse him that he lifts his hand from our lives. Always God at Work, Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, The Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, as we study the prophetic book of Isaiah and consider all that's happening today, you may still have some questions about the issues you face in your daily walk with the Lord, and you may also be wondering how events will play out in the future. That's why Pastor Jack has some Q&A segments on his YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. These mini Q&A videos dive into questions about the rapture, or how should a Christian stand for truth in this liberal culture, or how do we pray according to God's will? There's also Q&A videos on how to prepare to give a defense of our faith, and also, how can we avoid isolation? There are a lot of videos to choose from when you subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Also, don't forget to click on the notifications icon to stay informed on all the latest videos. And if you need any more information, simply head over to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.